Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. This is Liberty Roundtable Live for February the 8th in the year of our Lord, 2016. This is hour two of two. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the principles that made America great is the answer. The checks and balances key to the exercise. I repeat, we will never have more freedom than we have morality and education in the people. It's incredibly simple. Last hour, we were talking to Michael Connolly, U.S. Justice Foundation, USJF.net. Glenn wanted to chime in from Philly. Hi, Glenn. Be quick. We got a guest coming up. Go ahead, sir.
Sure, Sam. Sorry, I was busy. I wanted to point out that how reprehensible it is to label anyone who receives disbursement of government funds through electronics transfer as incompetent. That it's just absolutely reprehensible. And I'll bet you dollars to donuts that Obama receives his government disbursed funds of his $400,000 a year annual wage electronically. So does that make him incompetent?
Well, you're referring back to the discussion we had with Michael Connolly about how they're doing this to the veterans. Suggesting they can't handle their money, suggesting there's some kind of a mental illness or mental impairment that simply will not let them manage their own affairs, and they're taking away freedoms from the people. And at first it's the veterans, then it'll be the Social Security recipients, and then right on down the line. Your point's well taken. I appreciate the call, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right. It's a valid point. He's right about that. It's out of control, but the government continues to crack down on the people. What is the answer? The answer is education. The answer is morality in the people, and without that, I'm telling you, we're in trouble, folks. All right, Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
JoelSkousen.com, worldaffairsbrief.com is with us. Hi, Joel.
It's good to be with you, Sam and Kurt.
All right, so catch me up. You went to the Lavoie Finicum funeral Friday, right?
Yes, I did, and it was impressive, to say the least. As I flew over in order to land at Kanab, I just saw that this one stake center there, and Kanab is not a big city, but it was just block to block full of cars and going out all the access roads into the subdivisions. when I finally got a ride from the airport over there, there's just no place to park within about three blocks, and this was hours before the funeral.
They guesstimate there was about 1,000 people. Is that right?
Well, I think there was much more than that. There was
really
at least 1,000 inside, and there were, probably 500 that couldn't get in the building. It was a tremendous outpouring of support. KUTV was there. KSL was there. I think KUTV had the best coverage. There was 50... must have been at least 50 horses there doing a cowboy cavalry, leading a parade. There were flags, there were speeches. It was just a tremendous outpouring of support. The Finnegan family was impressive as well. 11 children, all well-spoken, understanding the issues of the Constitution, the liberty that their father stood for. This guy was a really credible guy, a well-spoken, helped people, would drop at the, everything to go and help somebody if they needed help, had a big ranch, a beautiful ranch, and so, and the family's very, very upset about what's going on here. I might say as well that, before I go into that, that the Kane County Sheriff was pretty smart in saying, FBI and BLM, just stay away. We want this to be a peaceful gathering. We don't need any more provocation. And so,
yeah, to make your point, Ammon and Lavoie and many others, I'm not really in support of the action they took. Nevertheless, they went days, weeks, nigh into a month, and before that with zero violence. Then the federal government gets involved, and voila, someone gets killed, right? I mean, the only violent people here are the federal government.
Exactly. They set up an ambush for him, and... I am convinced, and as well as others that I've talked to, that there were plants within the movement. They knew to the very to within a half an hour of when they would be at that road.
They knew to the second, Joel. I talked to some people that were actually driving down the road that were actually, I don't know, maybe a half a mile ahead of them or something like that, and they made it through just fine and were shocked when they got to the other end and heard what happened. And so they literally knew down to the minute, sir.
Well, you know, how much, you know, time. We know that they knew that they were coming. The first van that had the Sharp family singers in it made it through and didn't even see a roadblock. So they basically let everyone through, closed in, immediately sealed everything off and set up the trap. And of course, you know, to have at least half a dozen snipers in the trees required that they'd be there, you know, out of sight, even when people were traveling by. But this was a well-planned a trap. And what's really interesting is that the things that have been confirmed, and I was able to talk to some of the eyewitnesses there at the funeral, but there was clearly something, you know, a really big anomaly. One is that the first, or the Jeep that was carrying Ammon Bundy, which was second in the caravan, they were supposed to be going at wider intervals to avoid this kind of trap, and it didn't happen for the last two vehicles. But so Ammon's Jeep, driven by Mark McConnell, was following LaBoy Finicum and the four people in his truck. And they were pulled over and got out, were taken down doing a normal arrest. And which was really funny because when the two cars, you know, pulled over, LaVoy actually didn't pull over. He just stopped in the middle of the road. They never approached the car. They never even asked them to get out and give their hands up. In fact, when Ryan Payne on the passenger side front seat put his hands out the window and said, "There are women and children in here," they shot at him. Now, this was incredible.
Now, the FBI there claims they never took a shot then.
Well, I mean, I'm not
sure. All the witnesses claim they did, though.
All the witnesses claim that they did. And, you know, the vehicle's going to show the marks of a shot. And, of course, you know, there was other shots at the second stop at the roadblock. But, you know, it's almost like they were going to drive them into the roadblock, into the ambush, that they didn't want to actually get them out of the car because it was a totally different stop.
Yeah, I believe that's intentional. And I've got a supposition, maybe this is speculation, call it what you will, but I want to get your take on this, Joel. Back in the time of Ruby Ridge, when they shot Vicki Weaver, Lon Horiuchi, the thug, murdered her in cold blood. She was standing in the door of her cabin with a baby in her arms. She was unarmed when they murdered her. But the reason kind of given for that murder was that, look, they got to get rid of the queen bee. She's the one that holds this whole thing together. And if she's taken out, then you know what? Everything else falls apart and we can, it's sad that we got to lose a life, but in their idea, it's a must. And they took out the leader there. They believed that was the mother in this case. Now, I submit to you that LaVoy Finicum was the father of this movement of Ammon and crew. He was the oldest, not counting Shauna Cox, but I mean the oldest that was literally, he shredded his contracts with the government. He literally owned ranches. He had significant battles before the BLM. He understood it constitutionally. He was ready to take them on from a sound position, and they knew that if they could take out the quote father, if you will, that was LaVoy Finicum in this case, they would have everything fall apart. That was their gamble, and I submit it was on purpose.
It's very possible. He certainly was, even though he wasn't the nominal leader, he certainly was the spokesman, and he was well-spoken and respected, had the look as well that would generate respect. One of the things that may implicate this, though, is the fact that I think there's a very high possibility, and I've talked to other people, that Mark McConnell, the driver of the Jeep, was, in fact, a government plant.
And I believe that's very likely as well. He was the one, by the way, that encouraged the and made the cars stick together, by the way.
Yes, and the problem here is that he was let go. He wasn't even arrested. I mean, here, if you're part of the refuge, everyone else has been indicted. You know, why have not Blaine Cooper, you know, who's made certain statements, was let go? Why has Mark McConnell let go? I mean,
and Mark McConnell's claim to the FBI was, "I was only up here sightseeing."
Yeah, but he was in the car from
right.
At the refuge. He was in the car. He was part of the group.
I'm just saying, even his excuse is incredibly flimsy. Yeah, yeah. I was sightseeing? Come on.
Yeah. And so what I think happened, you know, some people said, well, they wanted to kill them all. And I said, initially, well, why didn't they kill anybody in the first vehicle? And the answer is, you know, they couldn't and then leave Mark McConnell standing, so they decided, you know, not to take any of them down. But I don't believe, because I've you know, really researched this pretty well now, and it's pretty conclusive that the government was in large part, and the hundreds of rounds shot at the vehicle were not live bullets, that they were...
rubber rounds and gas, you know, canister,
hard foam,
gas.
Hard foam type bullets and gas pellets. Because the FBI has even admitted one spokesman as such. And the fact that, you know, the bullets were bouncing off windows indicates that these were not, you know, regular bullets.
And the question is, why didn't they use rubber bullets and or tasers or something else to deal with LaVoy? That's a whole other question. The video is inconclusive, to say the least. But there are certain...
What is conclusive, though? Conclusive?
Hold on. There are certain things we're gathering that we will find out about. Joel will tell you all about it on the other side. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, live on Liberty Roundtable.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, back with you live. I've always made this point. It doesn't matter if you're first on the scene for news. What does matter is that you get the details right. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com, comes out every Friday. Incredible commentary in your inbox every Friday, digitally delivered. Get your copy today, worldaffairsbrief.com. But the reason I tell you that is because Joel Skousen patiently organizes the details of what we know, what we don't know. The video, inconclusive to say the least, the FBI, in my humble opinion, intentionally released no audio video and released a very low grade, they say from an airplane, distant video. I bet they have much, much more to tell. They're flat out leaving out. That is of great concern in and of itself. However, The video is incredibly inconclusive, but Joel Skousen, World Affairs Brief, wrote an article just this last Friday, more on Oregon shooting. And it breaks down what we know, what we don't know, and it probably has the best timeline and details I've seen to date thus far. Joel patiently puts it all together. Joel?
Well, thanks. You know, the FBI claims that Finnegan had a 9mm pistol on his inside left jacket pocket, and then he was reaching for it when they shot him. There's a major flaw in this rationale, of course, is that they couldn't have known that it was in the pocket until after they'd killed him. It wasn't visible at all. And, you know, it's not enough. What I make the point is that you take somebody down because he drops his hands. In the first place, there's two reasons why he could have been dropped the hand. One, he was moving in snow and might have been trying to maintain his balance. It was just spinning around to face two different attackers from two different directions. Or two, he was shot while his hands were up, and it came down to grab his torso. You know, I posed this possibility in last week's brief, but until the FBI releases dash cam videos or body camera videos with sound, the FBI refused to do this, by the way, but we could tell them with sound if there was a shot while his hands were up. And that would have explained why his... But even
now, let's be very clear, though. They didn't need to advance on him at all. They could have just sat there and watched and waited. He didn't even have a lay of the land, much less who was where. They had tons of lasers on him. They could have taken him out in about a second flat. There's no reason they shouldn't have just waited to see what he was going to do.
That's exactly right. What we call overwhelming force was present. They had at least 20 officers there, or FBI agents, including half a dozen snipers in the trees, one of which came out and shot him with a handgun. But, you know, there's another major violation is the two times. An agent, it may have been the same one, I haven't been able to determine, when he tries to go around the blower and the roadblock, an agent actually dives out in front of the vehicle. You know,
what the heck is he thinking?
He tries to, you know, the FBI tries to claim to run down an officer. No, it's the officer trying to run down the vehicle. And I think what the officer was trying to do was make sure that he didn't get around the snowbank close to the other vehicles, that it pushed him further out in order to avoid the officer. And then either that same or another officer comes out in the open without clearing the truck. And that's a violation of combat tactics. You don't, when you got the ability to hide behind vehicles, you don't come out and expose yourself when there's a truck that potentially has people that are armed in it unless you clear the vehicle. But he was clearly right out there, invisible of the truck, confronting Finnegan with his arm extended, with his weapon in his arm, while his hands are up. Now, we can't tell from that video that there wasn't a shot fired.
But now, Joel, it also makes you wonder, if he comes out in the clear like that, if he basically literally, one guy tries to get in the way of the vehicle, then the other guy comes out in the clear, not behind vehicles, without telling Finnegan, look, we've got 20 people on you, you're not going anywhere, there's snipers in the trees right now, whatever. It seems to me that they almost wanted somebody from their side to go down to make matters worse.
Well, it may well have been that one exposed himself in order to justify that he was in danger of being shot. In other words, they can justify using lethal force as one of their people is, in the path. Now, the point is, when you have that many people behind weapons, there's nothing a person can do hardly at that distance, even if he draws a pistol. You certainly could have waited until you saw a pistol in the hand. But to have that much overwhelming force, plus protection, plus body armor, and to shoot somebody when there's no proof or no visible weapon at all, that's just not...
But, Joel, you're also never justified when you have overwhelming force like they did. Time and patience always in those situations are on their side. To have somebody exposed to then claim that he may have felt in fear to justify shooting him, that doesn't hold water either, because then you create the scenario that justifies supposedly in the first place. In other words, you can't just create the situation and then say, oh my gosh, there was imminent danger. Well, they created that danger by letting that guy get out there by himself in the open in the first place. In other words, it's like the cart before the horse.
That's exactly right. They put the man at risk in order to justify shooting somebody. And this needs to be, you know, a wrongful death lawsuit. I've been in contact with the attorneys for the Bundy brothers, as both Ammon and Ryan. Ammon has had an attorney before, but Ryan, his indigent older brother, has not had an attorney. And I've been, you know, involved in working to get that set up and get that financed.
Yeah, we got to work on that hard, because he's in the clutches of a public defender right now, which is nuts.
Right. Well, we've got that problem solved already, so it's going forward today. But the point that I've been making in our discussions with the attorney is that what we need to do is get discovery on a discovery motion before the court so that the FBI is forced to deliver what they have. You know, we need, what their plan was. We need to know who the officer was that was doing the shooting, who got out of line, in front of the vehicles. We need to know what the dash cams are, what the body cams are. And if they claim that there aren't any, that's going to be very, very, very suspicious. But the interesting thing is the indictment of the not only the Bundy brothers, but everyone. First of all, they lump everybody into a single indictment. And if you read the indictment, it goes through certain things like claiming that they threatened to do this and this. But actually, they don't have evidence that everybody threatened. They have evidence that one or two, like on a Facebook, made threatening statements. And, I asked the attorney, I said, what do you think of this? This indictment, they're lumping everybody into the same thing. And obviously, you have to try them individually according to this indictment. And he says, yeah, we can pick all kinds of holes on this. But he said, what it appears that they're doing, you notice they do not mention evading a traffic stop or a warrant to stop or an arrest attempt, which is what happened. And the reason they didn't put that in the indictment is they want to make sure the judge has an excuse not to allow discovery of the shooting of Finnegan or what led up to it. And, of course, Ryan Bundy was shot as well, and they don't want to allow discovery, and so they've excluded that from the indictment. And I had another attorney look at it, a criminal attorney, and he says, but there's holes in this indictment. He said there's, a couple of points, counts E and F, if you look at them closely, they're so general that we can include the traffic stop. For example, point F says they tried to recruit other people, and we can assume that they were heading to John Day to recruit other people, and that, therefore, is included in the indictment. And in point E was that they had threatened officers, with deadly force, and we said we can use that because in the traffic stop, they obviously didn't approach the car because they assumed they were a threat to them. And so it's very clear that, or not very clear, but, the indictment is sloppy enough that we can get discovery.
Unless their goal was to simply use that to drag everybody in so that they could deny people bail and everything else on this general, as far as I understand, this general charge that they were charged with is kind of like comes from the 1860s and Civil War times almost, denying them a lot of their rights. Then later they'll just pile on other charges. Is that the idea?
Well, the indictment is the indictment, and the more specific the charges, the more the defense will be able to pull it apart. And so, right now, it doesn't look like a good case, except for the fact of trespassing. That's a pretty cut and dry case.
And what Ammon would say is, well, the dang refuge said welcome. I can't be trespassing when it says welcome.
Well, the point that they can say is that, obviously the problem is that they weren't wise enough to realize that when you start negotiating with the FBI, they're recording, and when you make statements like, no, we're not leaving, then you now become trespassing when you've been asked by
people. I see. All right, Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com. Hang tight, back in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com. One of the statements that Ammon has made, and I concur with this statement, I disagree with his action. I think there's a better way to go, but he basically claims, look, we've tried everything. We've tried a redress of grievance. We've tried due process. We've tried to work on this thing until we're blue in the face and the government's just out of control. And, you know, what is a people to do? What are we to do? Has been Ammon's phrase. And I agree with that. I don't agree with his action, but I do agree with the general points that he's making. I do agree with his understanding of the Constitution. Where do we go from here? What are we to do? Even if we get lawyers to investigate the FBI on this thing, will we really see justice, Joel?
Well, it's doubtful if the government starts to cover up the evidence to say there are no dash cams. I mean, assuming there is wrongdoing in the shooting. But let me address the larger question. In fact, I did address this to Ammon through his family. I sent them my proposal of what they should do. And I disagreed also with the occupation of the refuge. I said there's no way the government can give in to a use of force like that. It wasn't in the defense of anybody's particular rights. It was for past grievances, and they wanted, based upon, you know, the threat of force, to have them disband the entire refuge. I said that's not going to fly, never going to happen. Government can't let into that. You have to wait, I said, till you have another Hammond family, somebody who's willing to stand up and say, come and protect me. And I suggested
that. And by the way, I think there's a family in Utah that would do just that, but that's another topic.
Yeah, and you know, I recommend that Ammon say, we're going to stand down peacefully. We've made our point. We wanted to give publicity to this, but we're putting the government on notice. We are going to come to the defense of any rancher who is similarly beleaguered in the future by the BLM. And that would have positive vibes. They'd go away peacefully. They didn't have an armed confrontation, but they said, we're going to come to the defense of anybody who's being, you know, abused by the BLM. And then the other thing that I suggested, and people really need to understand the strength of this, is to have a rancher's bill of rights. We did this as pilots. The FAA was running roughshod over pilots and fining them and taking their license away arbitrary. They didn't have any proper court procedures. You didn't have any way to defend yourself. The FAA was just running roughshod. And so finally got, the pilots are a much smaller group than the ranchers. And got Congress in the back, and it took several years to get it, and finally you got it in black and white, due process procedures and, all kinds of protections so they couldn't arbitrarily work against you. And the ranchers could do the same thing. You could say, you know, you cannot terminate grazing rights arbitrarily without scientific evidence of this and this and this and this, and you've got to, you can't interfere with water rights. You have to, you know, observe. Now, I understand that this is not the same as the main goal, which is getting the federal lands back into state hands. But still, it is a process that hasn't been tried and should be tried, and you have to do that before you go to revolution. You have to be able to exhaust, and they haven't even tried this, and it has worked with the pilots, and I think it will work. There's a whole bunch of public support for this BLM problem. I mean, I saw that at the funeral, and I think that they could really take this to town and do something. Now, I'm not enthused about the Utah bill, for example, to get federal lands back.
Yeah, there's basically two ideas here. One is to say the federal government has authority on the lands, but let's transfer them back. Let's do it legislatively. The other choice says we're just going to demand it and ignore your federal government in the nullify idea. Aren't those the opposing views?
That's right. Now, there's a third area, and that's to go to court and have the court rule on whether or not the federal government could have properly, under the Constitution, taken land or withheld land from the states from the very beginning as a condition of statehood. And I think that's the best case to be made. But the Utah bill is flawed in two major ways. One, it assumes that this is the federal land, and any sale of the land, once it comes into state control, the money goes to the federal government. They may have thrown that in as a sop to the federal government, but I think that's just, the sale of land should not go to the federal government. They have no right to be there, and if that's the ruling, then all proceeds to land that is sold for private interest must go to the states. But the other point is the $14 million legal bill that is estimated to run this thing to the Supreme Court. And that's just ludicrous. When you have salaried lawyers working for the state, and it doesn't take a genius to take this thing before the Supreme Court, there's no reason for this $14 million bill, and that's what's squashing it. It's hard for the legislature to sell that kind of bill to the public. But what they're trying to do, is say, oh, we've got to have big-name attorneys, and they're going to charge $1 million an hour, and that's just ridiculous. I think that's meant to sabotage this effort, by having such outrageous legal fees.
Part of the problem with going to the courts, though, to get an answer, at some point, the courts were intended to be the least powerful branch of government, and they've turned into be the most powerful because we ignorantly believe whatever the courts says is the answer, and they get it right no matter what they say. That isn't correct either. So I caution going to the courts a little bit.
Well, but I'm saying you still have to do that initially. If the courts don't rule the right way, I think the states are justified just then to say, we're taking back the lands. They belong to the state, and these are not, proper federal lands, and that goes to the nullification point of view. And I don't see any state, especially Utah's Governor Herbert, who's a mainstreamer, pretending to be a conservative, having the guts to do that.
Well, they'll never do it as long as the money's at stake either. And that's kind of the big problem. We need the states to get off the money teat in the first place. And as soon as they can do that, they might be able to have a backbone. But until then, they never will.
That's right. But as I say, I'm, with my long-term view about the conspiratorial powers that control both all forms of government, including the courts, I think there's very little that can be due ultimately, but you have to exhaust all the remedies before you can, justify stronger nullification efforts.
There's no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, there's a process. The founders did this with the Declaration of Independence in great detail, and we need to exhaust all opportunities, and I think Ammon's point's well taken that he's frustrated. I get that. I don't think all avenues have been explored, though, and an example is not enough people are even standing up for principle. Until we get a moral, educated population that's willing to stand up enough, you're not going to have liberties. Now, an organized group such as the ranchers can demand a Bill of Rights. They ought to. It's a great idea. It is something that will back off the government temporarily from certain groups. It's a short-term solution, not a long-term answer, though. But until the people are moral and stand up enough together, in other words, by our greater numbers, shall we succeed, Joel? Until we do that, though, and if we never do that, we're not going to have more freedom than we have education and or morality.
That's right, and we're not going to get that education level as long as you've got, public school written into the Constitution as it is in Utah, as a condition of statehood, again, that you have to give up private schooling and fund a public schooling. It's really tough to do the education on a when the public, when the government controls the educational process.
Unless you're Sam Bushman and you never put it in your kids at government school and you never will, then, you know.
And I didn't either. But still, we have to pay for government schools.
You're right.
It's difficult for private schooling to get a leg up when you're having to pay twice for education.
But it is about education, and that's why Joel writes his World Affairs Brief to keep you spot on what's really happening, what you can do about it. His newsletter's full of solutions and prepper ideas to help you get a handle on things personally. You may not be able to fix the world by 3 o'clock, but you sure can take care of your family, Joel.
Yeah. But one tactic that I do disagree with is being employed by some is the use of the claim constitutional judges and constitutional officers, self-appointed people, to issue warrants and make demands upon federal officials.
In other words, this idea of relying on a common law grand jury that they can just put together a continental common law Congress or continental or common law juries where they're all self-appointed, it's outside the system, is your point.
Well, my point is, though, you have to have a large group of constitutionally based people to elect these people to have a shadow government or an opposing government, so to speak. But, you know, the assumption of public authority tactic that we the people movement are using, you know, it's just a handful of people electing this guy named Judge Darby, who calls up the military, judge adjutant in Oregon and demands that he intervene in this. And, you know, he gets a lot of respect from the secretary when he calls himself a judge. And then all of a sudden, they're going to realize, oh, you're a self-appointed judge, you know, and it just blows the issue out of water. It makes the movement look like a pompous, arrogant bunch of fools. And as I say, you've just got to have a bigger movement before you can start doing this self-appointed government. And the worst thing you can do is demand the governor stand down, you know, because who gives you authority to do that? Claim the Constitution, but the point is you've got to have a larger base of people, and that's why going back to education that you've been talking about is so important. We've got to have a larger group of people that understand not only the exigency of our situation and the fact that the Constitution's dead, really, already, but that there's a major secret combination of controlling our government. People need to know that information. It's not going to be solved by politics, Trump, Cruz, or anyone else up there.
And we need to be very clear about, look, there's an order to things. And when the tiny minority decides they're going to disrupt this order based on their own agenda, a lot of these common law grand juries, well, first off, the Constitution's not even based on common law, necessarily. Secondly, you know what? They want to go back to the Magna Carta for their solutions. Again, why would we look at the Magna Carta? Joel Skousen with us, worldaffairsbrief.com on your radio.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at herbalhealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA olive leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA elderberry power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit herbalhealer.com and click on the fall winter specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com with us. Joel, do you have more to say on Oregon? I want to move to another quick topic that you've got in your World Affairs Brief.
Move on.
All right, so Hillary's emails. You know, some people are saying, you know what, Hillary for prison, not for president. Do you think there's going to be any accountability for her violation of the law on this?
I don't think, though. I think that the email scandal has been brought up without any intent to prosecute, merely to destabilize her campaign. I've long held that the establishment wants to give us a controlled Republican and that they've never really wanted Hillary to be president. They know they have to defuse the tremendous amount of hatred there is in the nation against the Democratic rule and Obamacare. And the way to do that is to have a controlled Republican who won't change anything but will dampen the opposition. So you need to destabilize her so she can't win the election, but you don't want to actually, she's a protected individual that's been in this game a long time and have been protected for a long time. So that's why I don't think that she'll actually be prosecuted by it. But it is very, very serious because not only have they had classified information, top secret information emails, they removed the classification in order to put it into the emails, and that's a felony to remove classification before you publish it. Now, you know, they're spinning it like this was classified after we published it and we shouldn't be held accountable for it, but that's a lie.
Is Hillary going to be the next president, you think, or is it going to end up being, Marco Rubio?
If Trump gets nominated, they'll let Hillary win. I mean, they don't have any other choice. Although, I don't think Trump is a knowing plant for the establishment. He just won't read anybody's script, even his own. So, you don't have a controlled individual who just is uncontrolled. But his statement, for example, on torture during the debate, that he'd do more than waterboarding, and even Cruz chimed in that he didn't think there was anything wrong with waterboarding. That's a real problem when the two top, headliners in the GOP, don't have any principles about, stopping torture. So I'm really not enthused about, Trump or Cruz. But clearly the establishment doesn't want either of those in there. They want one of the big four of the establishment, Rubio, Jeb Bush, Chris Christie, or John Kasich. I don't think Kasich's going to make it. He just doesn't have the charisma. There was a significant manipulation, I think, of the Iowa primary to boost Rubio. You noticed he only won support in five precincts. Cruz had 56, Trump had 37, and the only ones that he won in the five precincts, Trump was down significantly, and he was up. It's almost like they traded votes. It's very suspicious that Microsoft, that endorsed Rubio, was running the app, and they could have manipulated the election. We know it happened with the Sanders and Clinton contest. There was one precinct where there was only one person that showed up. He voted for Sanders, and that precinct was registered as going for Clinton. And he's protested loudly. It's got on the Des Moines Register, published his protest that my vote was robbed. Now, it was only one vote in one precinct, but it shows that there was manipulation going on the Democratic side as well.
Now, some are saying that Cruz is basically going to be the first president of the North American Union. What do you say?
Well, I'm not buying into, for example, his connection or the past connections of his wife with Goldman Sachs or this other CFR outfit on the North American Union. The reason I say that is because this was typical of what you're expected to do when you graduate from Ivy League University, go to Wall Street, get in with the big firms, and they try to influence you. She backed out of all of those relationships, after she found out, what the conservatives really thought about that, and I thought that was a good move. I think Cruz is a legitimate one, conservative, but I'm really worried that he has stacked his advisors with the Chertoff Group, just like Romney did, all CFR-type advisors, neocons, Elliott Abrams, and other neocons on his staff. This doesn't look good, but I still don't think he's a globalist. I just think that he's succumbing to the desire to win too much, and that's how you win, is to get the main establishment advisors in there.
Any guesses who will be president and or the nominee?
It's too hard to tell at this point because Trump has really thrown a monkey wrench. I've never seen the establishment having to work overtime so much. I mean, I thought it was bad in 2012 as they worked to destroy Romney, and when they couldn't, they had to make disappear almost 10 million votes in order to reelect Obama. And they'll do the same thing again. But, Trump is somebody who, is really playing into the anti-establishment mode, but he's really showing some disturbing tendencies. One of his statements, I could go shoot people on Fifth Avenue and people would still vote for me. That's a very, very irresponsible remark. And then this one on torture is another irresponsible remark. I'm really worried about what would happen if he got elected.
Not only is it irresponsible, though, I'd say it's an ignorant statement to make. I mean, come on.
Yeah, absolutely. And it just shows a low-class, hyper-mentality. But I really worry about, Cruz's hyper-neocon agenda to fall right into that. I'm just in despair. I think that there is anybody out there that, can do the job. But the establishment's clearly in despair as well.
The only one even close, in my mind, to a principled person that could have done the job would be a Rand Paul, and he just flat out melted down.
Well, it wasn't a complete meltdown. I mean, he had 4 or 5%, but they weren't going to let him get any higher just for that very, very reason, because he was the only one of the Republican candidates that would have been resistant to the neocon agenda. And he made some compromises as well, but he's regretted those, especially the ones about supporting McConnell and seeing how McConnell just... it was a one-way street of compromise. So I think Rand Paul would have learned his lesson over time, but that's why they would not let him win. And he may have had a higher response than polling showed, but it was enough to get him to drop out.
All right. You got an incredible preparedness tip every week in your newsletter, too. Do you want to address that? I think that's really critical to help people kind of understand week by week. If you kind of work on those over time, you really get a lot of stuff done, Joel.
They've turned out to be one of the most popular things in the World Affairs Brief. Most of them are written by my son, Andrew. He's an engineer, and he practices what he preaches. I mean, he does all this natural stuff. He does fermentation. He does organic growing in his garden. He does all the preparedness steps. He's really into natural health things, as well as all of us in our family. And he wrote the tip this week on taking control of your health. Even though we believe in natural health, you don't want to become dependent on professionals. You want to learn how to handle your own nutrition. You want to know how to read your body signs. And we've talked a lot about the various options, especially, home birth. I think home birth is going to be a very important thing because there's so much control if you have a birth in the hospital. I mean, they can literally take your child away if you refuse vaccines in many states. And that's going to grow with the establishment protocols even worse and worse as we go. So it's very, very important. And I also put in a very interesting part that I wrote myself about the inroads of spiritualism into diagnostic techniques used by most natural practitioners, in the sense that they use what they call kinesiology and arm testing and other things, which are claimed to be spiritual processes. They are not science because it can't be done by normal people. It can't be duplicated in a scientific way. And I think it's spiritualism, even though it gives correct answers most of the time. It's a trap. And I basically restated the base principle, I think, helps you detect that no true spiritual process is allowed to be used in any mechanistic way, like getting yes or no answers, pulling on the arm. It's just not the way that the Lord allows things to operate. And so we kind of give these very, very practical tips about how to avoid problems, even in a good field like natural medicine. Satan is very, very slick. He tries to make inroads wherever there's truth and distort it for his own purposes.
All right, there you have it. We're about out of time, Joel. Anything else you want to mention before the end of the hour?
Well, I think it's going to be very important to watch this New Hampshire election. I think it's important to realize that even though Trump, they got Rubio a boost in the Iowa, there's most of the establishment really doesn't want Rubio. They really want a more reliable establishment guy like Christie or Jeb Bush or John Kasich. And I think Rubio's anti-abortion and things like that is something they don't really ultimately want, even though he's become a raving neocon. So this New Hampshire primary is going to be very important to watch.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we keep an eye on that ball. The government says it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks before they release anything on the Finicum shooting. That's just plenty of time for them to manipulate reality, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And hopefully we can get some discovery in there and force that out sooner.
It's going to take money, folks. We're going to a lot of people are putting together plans to help Ammon and crew with defense and with some of this discovery and some of the things we need. We'll keep you posted on that because that's really, in my humble opinion, where the average American can actually get involved and participate and do something valuable.
Indeed it is.
All right, Joel, I appreciate it, my friend. Godspeed, sir.
Thank you very much.
There he goes. Joel Skousen, worldaffairsbrief.com. That's his website for the World Affairs Brief, coming to your inbox every Friday. Incredible commentary, by the way, on a troubled world. What I like about it is it's got solutions, it's got common sense, it's got a level head. He does his research very well. JoelSkousen.com is the website for his books. And that's incredible because you can get a lot of his books and understand some of the best places to live and strategic planning and some of those things. And then, of course, Joel is a consultant, if you didn't know that, too. If you got a group that you need someone to speak to, there he is. If you want to hire him as a consultant to get some of your plans in place, another great resource as well. I don't make a penny for it. I'm just telling you where to go for solutions. All right, Kurt, incredible couple hours. Michael Connelly, I disagree with him on waterboarding, by the way. I think it's torture. I think it's evil. My headline is it's an immoral evil, to say the least. And if we lose the moral high ground, we're really in trouble in America. That's been the problem, and that's why we're losing our liberties, ladies and gentlemen. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. We the people can restore America, but we need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.